For those who don't know Truth Radio, I'm the preacher. And I'm also the host for today's class. For the new audience, for the new listeners out there, welcome to Truth Radio. If you're a first time, you can kindly download the app, you know, and let us know who you are and where you're calling from. I mean, where you are listening from. Excuse me. Because I like to engage my audience by simply downloading the app. And in the app, there's a section where it says chat with admin. And that way you can chat with us. I would like to know all the listeners out there to send the message. And that way we can engage with the audience, with the listeners out there. Tell us your name and your current dwelling country right now. I would like to do this time to time to personally engage myself with the people. Again, for those who are just listening, for those who are just tuning in, my name is Adewale, and this is your host and the preacher, or the teacher for today. We've been away for a few weeks now, but we're back. We're back. It is my joy that I would like to broadcast to go on air wherever we travel to. But due to poor service connection in these third world countries, we're not able to. It sucks, but I know, Lord's willing, everything will be resolved. You know, we kindly collect donations for those out there who may want to donate to Truth Radio. We appreciate it. As we begin today's Shabbat, once again, shout out to all the 12 tribe of Israel. I greet you all in the name of Christ our Lord. Shout out to the tribe of Reuben. Shout out to the tribe of Simeon. Shout out to the tribe of Yehuda, in which Christ came out from. Shout out to the tribe of Issachar. Shout out to the tribe of Zebulun. And that's right, these are 12 tribes of Israel. Shout out to the tribe of Benjamin, in which Paul, the apostle, came out from. Shout out to the tribe of Dan. And that's right, Dan, whatever this tribe is, from the four corners of the earth. Shabbat shalom. I greet you in the name of Yahushua, in whom the world called Jesus the Christ. Shout out to the tribe of Naphtali. And all these tribes I'm mentioning, this is not strange to us. We know the misery that have been hidden in time past has been made manifest to the saints. These are the lost 12 tribes of Israel. You are not so-called Nigerian. You are not so-called Brazilian. You are not so-called Haitian, Congolese. You are not so-called Ghanaians or Kenyans. You are not so-called the Black Americans or those in the UK, in the diaspora. You are not so-called the Jamaicans. You are the 12th tribe of Israel. You are the chosen seed from the loins of our grandfather, Abraham, in whom bore Isaac and in whom bore Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons, which became the 12 tribes of Israel. We all came from these tribes. We're the direct descendants of our fathers. And that's right. If you don't know, now you know, brothers and sisters out there. Even the heathens, please do not feel left aside. Do not feel part of the tribe. For we know that the heathens at one point have lost the connection between them and the Almighty. And they're called heathens for one reason, because they do not know the Almighty. But we know Christ came to die for the sins of his people. John 3:16, which happens to be the word, for God so loved the word that Christ spake of, is not the whole universe in which all the families of the earth dwell in. This word that Christ came and died for is Israel. John 3:16. This is not blasphemy. This is the truth. Let's proceed further. Shout out to the tribe of Naphtali. I believe I've mentioned that. Shout out to the tribe of Gad. G-A-D, not G-O-D. Very fearless tribe. Shout out to the tribe of Asher. And we know Joseph had two sons, in which Jacob or Yaakov adopted. And their names are Ephraim and Manasseh. I greet you all in the name of Christ, all the 12 tribes of Israel scattered abroad. Again, for those who are just joining in, for the new listeners out there, for the new audience, and for those who are joining in, please, I would like you guys to actually go on the app and tell us your name and where you guys are listening from. I want to know, though I can know where you guys are listening from, but I want you guys to engage me. Likewise, me engaging my listeners out there. Tell me your name and the country that you currently reside in, and that'll be my pleasure. Now, let's take a deep breath for those out there. Let's take a deep breath as we start today's session. And we know we've been talking about thou shalt not make the Lord thy God's name in vain. You know, this has been the topic we've been discussing since the past 1 month or so. 1 month or two before we actually, you know, take a time off. We've been discussing about the Ten Commandments. And you know that we have discussed the first one. We have finished the first commandment. We've touched base on that, and now we enter the second commandment, which simply is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Before we proceed, Father, I would like you guys to get your scriptures, your Bible, in other words. If you need some few time to get your Bible, we'll have to temporarily suspend my talk, my words, and for you guys to get your Bible. I will give you guys 3 minutes to gather the family, for those who are married, to get your Bible. 3 minutes, then we'll proceed further. Okay. As for those who are new to Truth Radio, there's a tradition that we go by. And that's, you know, to pray before we start the session. So as we about to pray, I want all the listeners out there to close their eyes as we tap into that Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father in Christ, the Almighty, the Omnipotent, Science and Presence, the Invisible One, the Great Man in Battle, I thank you. Oh, we thank you. We give you the glory and the honor and the adoration for what you have done for us, for what you're doing right now, for what you're going to do in the future. We thank you that you've kept us alive, safe and sound. We thank you for the breath of life that you have given us. We thank you for our daily bread, that you have given us the ability to feed our families, our loved ones. Father, accept our thanks and praises, for we know that we are guilty, we are worthy of death. That we are worthy of death due to our wicked human nature. That we've despised your laws, your commandments, your statutes, your ordinances, your judgment, and do them to become more of a nature of us and not of a burden. But Father, with the blood of Yahushua, whom is shed on the cross for his people, look upon that cross, Father, and have tender mercy and grace upon your people. Father, you've kept us alive with all this pandemic and all these calamities, as today record or predate one of the most toughest and the most challenging year humanity or modern humanity has ever faced. But we are alive, safe and sound, despite the fact that our government, those in politics, our politicians, has failed us. But we know that you will not fail us, that you've said in your word that you will take care of his people, that you will take care of your people, that you will meet our daily needs. We thank you. Father, I pray for those out there who are sick to their bones, for those who need help, for those in the hospital of different conditions, the Father that you know. I don't, but you know the severity of their condition in these hospitals. And I decree, Father, that you touch their bones, that you strengthen their bones to be whole again. For I don't know what condition these patients are, that you heal their diseases, that you heal their illnesses, whatever that they're going through, that you heal them from their sickbed, and they shall rise up and walk in the name of Yahusha. For you said that we shall do greater things that your son did. With faith, Father, with the belief that I have in Yahusha, who is the foundation of my faith. And I pray for the less privileged ones, for those out there who cannot physically move their bodies, that you heal them with immediate effect, Father. Let the Holy Spirit move around to heal them. For those out there who are single, who are in need of a partner, of a companionship, and I pray that the Father in Yahusha, in due time, we'll bless you. We'll give you your own rib. We'll perfect your loneliness and give you the bone of your bone. Father, I don't know who's listening, who are listening to this radio station, but you know their worries, you know their weaknesses. You know what troubles them? That, Father, that you help them in this crisis that we're facing. That you help them meet their needs to sustain themselves and their families. We thank you. For those who are in need of a job, Father, that you direct them, you guide them to the place of comfort, to the place that you've prepared for them. We thank you. All praises to the Most High in Christ. Amen. For those who don't know, I'm your host again, Adewale, and I'm also the preacher for today's Shabbat. For the new listeners out there, this is Truth Radio. We bring you raw news. We bring you the truth to the ears and to the minds of men. Now, let's do a recap of previous Shabbat lessons as we talked about thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And we know that we gave the definition of the word vain itself, which carries the meaning of empty, hollow, nothing, worthless, or to no good purpose. And we gave, you know, different scenarios on how one can use the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You know, as we tend to downplay the importance of names in our culture. And we gave an analogy for those that came from Africa. You know, we know that name is very important. It represents who we are. It gives us that, you know, it gives us that title. That, you know, it brings light to our individual self. It tells us who we are as a human being, you know. And we know that that's not the only thing that defines who we are, but also our character. Because we have to take it further. We know that the name pretty much gives us an identity of who we are. But also we understand that it's not just a name. Yes, that's part of it. It tells us who we are as a human being. It gives us that identity of who we are. But we know that our character, our behavior, our attitude simply downplays who we are as a human being and how people perceive us. You know. And, you know, we gave examples of misusing God's name. You know, such as using God's name for our own gain. You know, using God's name to justify our actions. You know, cursing the name of the God. You know, with blasphemous word. You know, we give different scriptures in the Bible that reference, you know, all these examples. You know, and to even take it further. You know, there's more to learn. There's more to learn on how we use the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You know, and we know that, you know, observing that commandment goes far beyond what the modern church has said it means. You know, and we know that, you know, it's one of the most misunderstanding commandment among all the commandments, you know, because we've been brainwashed by this modern Christian society today. You know, we've been brainwashed to not know that the things that we do, the Christian norm, our daily lives involves constant taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain, in ignorance, you know. And with clarity, you know, I'm here to bring light, to shed light as the Holy Spirit will bring light to this. So that's something that lays into my heart, you know, to actually add to the previous, sessions before we actually took a break. You know, I would like to say this, though. Exodus 20th chapter, verse 7. You know, I'll begin with this. Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse 7. Is translated in three primary ways. The word take, thou shalt not take. The word take in that verse, Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse 7. Is translated in three primary ways. Swear, as in not to make promise. Profane, in the context of shaking one's fist at God. And blaspheme, as in cursing God's name. Now, let's give more examples of taking God's name in vain. You know, because people don't really understand, you know, this commandment. And it's very important. It's very, very important, you know, that we have to understand how we can take the name of the Lord thy God's name in vain. It's very, very important. Now, these are examples of taking the name of the God's name in vain. Anyone who quotes the Bible out of the context to justify sinful choice, you are taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And we have different preachers, prophets, apostles. In ignorance, they take the scriptures out of context. In their own demise, they think they're actually bringing out the truth, not knowing that they're actually, you know, reading the scriptures out of context to justify their own sinful choice. And we know Satan actually exhibited this on that mountain when he encountered Christ. He twisted scriptures, you know, to actually make Christ to break laws of the Almighty. But Christ was a wise brother. He knew the devil tactics that Satan loves to play. And he scolded him and he put him in his place. And that's highly common in today's society. As we know, a lot of them just like that. They're highly satanic. They're highly influenced by Satan. You know, twisting the scriptures to justify their own sinful actions. That's actually taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You know, a man who also goes to church, who attends services and professes Christ, but is physically and emotionally abusing his own family at home. You know, using the Bible to justify his behavior. You know, and the person has condemned Christ. He has nailed Christ again to the cross, because that's taking the name of the God, of our God, thy God. I mean, that's taking the name of our God in vain. That's right. One who actually goes to church and talk about the word of God, you know, but physically and emotionally abuses his own family, is endangering himself. And the Lord will hold that brother or that sister accountable. That is also using the name of our Lord thy God in vain. Promising before the Almighty, or just based on one's Christian faith to uphold a promise and then intentionally violating said promise, you're also using the name of our God in vain. Ponder on that. Ponder on that. That's food for thought. So we have to understand how we treat his name. We have to know that we are direct representative of the Almighty on this earth. And the only way that we can actually exercise his name is by simply displaying the righteousness of Christ to the world. That's how we can boast and we can use his name, you know, as a shield to bring others, to bring the sinful ones, the unbelievers, back to the Father in truth and in spirit. You know, we are to use his name for the good cause, for light, not for evil. Because we bear his namesake and we are his children. This is how we exercise Lord's name on earth. But doing the opposite, we're taking the name of our God in vain. I also give a scenario whereby my father, last name is Akomalafe. Let me give a scenario. I've talked about this. And the only way I can represent my father's name is by simply carrying out the good deeds that my father did. Let's give an example. You know, let's hypothetically speaking, if my father happens to be a good man on this earth, and people know him for that, his name, his last name carries volume. It weighs volume. It holds volume. You know, they should expect that from his children, especially sons. Because if I carry my father's last name, I have to exercise the same character that my father exhibit during his time. Let's say my father is no more today. Now, that same character, the same attitude, the same behavior that my father once exhibit when he was alive, people will expect that from his son. You know, they expect that from his son to carry out the same character, the same, you know, behavior, attitude that his father once exhibited during his lifetime. So that's just how it is. They expect me to carry out that light that my father once displayed, like father, like son. So based on your father's, dwelling among his brethren, among his own people, and how he helped the poor and the needy, how he was a voice to the voiceless ones, how he was a father to the orphan, how he helped his friends and many of them like that. You know, they expect that from me because I carry my father's name. You know, if my father was like Job in the scriptures, an upright man, you know, who was right between God and man, his sons should happen to display such character, such righteousness upon the earth. And that's how it works. It's also applicable to actually using the name of our Father to display righteousness. That tells us that we love the Father. We're using his name for the good cause. We bear his name. He has given us that order, that audacity, that power to carry out his name on the earth. And that's exactly what Yahushua did. He did what the Father would do if he was on this earth. He carried out the Father's righteousness. He was the Father's representation on earth. He displayed the Father's righteousness. That's why he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. For the Father is in me and I in the Father. They are both one. And that's how it works. It's not about knowing the Father's true name. You know, it's not about knowing the Father's true name, because we know that in the scriptures there's a prophecy that says stammering lips he will speak to the people. Hold on, let me get that scripture real quick. Pardon me, this is Isaiah, the 28th chapter, verse 11. For those that understood prophecies and knew what happened to our people, the lost tribe of Israel, and how we became heathens, we fell as a people, and we've been divided and scattered throughout the four corners of this earth as a result of slavery, because the Almighty kept us in slavery. Because our fathers refused to obey his word. We had a covenant with the Almighty on Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai. And we broke the covenant. And we told Moses everything that the Almighty has said we'll do. And who broke the covenant? My fathers did. And that led us to our own destruction. We despised God's word and we refused to keep his commandment. And as a result, we fell. And we became bywords. We became a mockery to all the nations of the earth. Now let's open to the book of Isaiah, the 28th chapter, verse 11. This is a prophecy for all you that keep saying that we have to know the Father's name. If you don't know the Father's name, we're using God's name in vain. That's a lie. We know that we are scattered throughout the four corners of the earth and we speak others. Eden's nation. I mean, we speak other Eden's language. The Lord has removed us from our land, giving us a new tongue. And whose tongue is this? It's the tongue of our oppressors. It happens to be the tongue of our slave masters. We took on their names. We took on their philosophies, their ideologies. We also took on their own language. We've been stripped out from our spirituality. We've been stripped away from our own cultures and traditions. We've been stripped away from our food, from our own people. The Lord has scattered us far away to a no man's land, the journey of no return, for those that knows. And he has given us to the heathens, to our enemies, to be destroyed. But we know that the Almighty have had mercy upon his people, and he will not ultimately destroy his people. He has looked upon the promise he has made to Abraham. But without further ado, for those who believe that we have to know the Father's name is a lie. That's not the scriptures. That's fallacies. That's lies. Because we know that according to Isaiah, the 28th chapter, verse 11, he said, with his stammering lips and another tongue, not our own tongue, not the tongue of our fathers, not the language of our fathers, but another tongue, a strange tongue, he will speak to his people through the Bible, his word. And so know that the Bible is translated in so many languages. You know, in French, in Arabic, in Spanish, in Creole, in Yoruba, in Igbo, in Swahili, you know, in different Ghanaian languages, in French, you know, in Hebrew, and so on and so forth, in Greek, in Latin. It goes on and on. So It's sad when our people keep saying that we have to know the Father's name, you know, and that's the only way that we keep this laws, by not using our God's name in vain. As you can see, according to the prophecy, With his stammering lips, he would speak to his people with another tongue. So, we have to be very mindful of how we treat his name and how to exercise his name in righteousness to bring people back to the Almighty in Christ. We are the fishermen of our modern era, and we have to bring the truth. We have to shake this kingdom and bring Christ's kingdom upon the earth. We don't have to wait till Christ come back at his second coming. We can usher in his new kingdom by telling the truth, speaking God's word to the people. For those who are meant for will listen and hearken and change their ways, repent. And turn back to the Father in spirit and in truth. So we have to be very mindful of how we treat his name. And we have to give the high regard of God, Yahweh. You know, giving that regard, give him that honor by simply exercising the righteousness in Christ. Bring that light to the people and let them know and glorify our Father in heaven. Although many people believe taking the Lord's name in vain refers to using the Lord's name as a swear word, there is much more involved with the vain use of God's name. To understand the severity, understand this now. To understand the severity of taking the Lord's name in vain, we must first see the Lord's name from his perspective as outlined in the scriptures. As we know that the God of Israel was known by many names and titles, as the Old Testament has proven that. We all know that the God of Israel was known by many names, as he has given his names, his attributes, and titles. But the concept embodied in the Almighty's name plays an important and unique role in the scriptures. It's all about the character. And you know, this is how people fell. Our people knew the Almighty's name. They were close to the Father. They had the laws and the prophets. They had the scriptures. They had the Torah. But yet, they fell as a people underneath the covenant of Moses. They knew the law and the prophet. They knew the book. They kept the laws of God. But yet, they fell short. They knew the name, the literal name of the Almighty. But what happened? Where are they at today? They perished. They perished underneath the old covenant. And that's the reason why the Lord had to implement a new covenant with his people, because we could not keep the first one. At least we know the name of the Almighty in Christ. But what happened to our people? I'll pause there for a second. What happened to my fathers and my mothers of the old, of past? What happened to them? They knew the Almighty's name. They knew the laws and the prophets. In fact, the prophets were with them as the Lord was dealing with them. What happened to them? Where are they at now today? So we have to understand that it's not about the Lord's or the Lord's literal name. It's about exhibiting his righteousness on earth. And that's right. And we know that according to Psalm, the 8th chapter, verse 1. According to Psalm, the 111th chapter, verse 9, tells us his name. And his name is Holy. For he say, be holy, for I'm holy. How the one become holy? How do you become holy? By the doctrines of today's society? By the doctrines of today's Christian society? Or by the laws of the book, the scriptures, on how to be a righteous man? The Lord has made decree of his word if you want to be deemed as a righteous man, these are the commandments that you have to keep. As the new covenant was ushered in Christ, to look unto Christ as the author and the finisher of our own faith. He is the new covenant. The Lord sent Christ to usher in the new covenant. He is our high priest. He is the mediator between the Almighty and his people. He is the only way, the only truth, and the life. For nobody goes to the Father but by him. To get to the Father, we have to go through Christ. We have to knock on Christ's door. And that's how we get to the Father. Yes, he is the Word made flesh and dwelleth among his brethren. And he's coming back for judgment. And how do we not profane the Lord's name in vain? By simply keeping his commandment. It has to be our nature. We have to get used to keeping God's commandment. And we know that his commandments are not burdensome. They are light. His yoke is light. They are not burdensome. When we try to use our physical ability to keep the commandment, and that's how we fall short of the glory of God, because we do err not knowing the scriptures. Let the Holy Spirit be made manifest. And these are the things that separate us from him. What a graceful, loving Father we have, that he has given us another chance to repent and to allow us to come before his throne because of the greatness of the name of his. Using God's name in vain brings dishonor on him and his character. You've defiled his character. You have made mockery of the Almighty by using God's name in vain. This is how you mock his character. You defile his character. You discredit, you dishonor his character. The commandment forbids taking or using the Lord's name in an irrelevant manner, because that would indicate the lack of respect for God himself. A person who takes the Lord's name in vain will not be held guiltless by the Lord. And that's Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse 7. And we know that in the Old Testament, bringing dishonor on God's name was done by failing to perform an oath, disobeying God's word when he issued a decree, and we disobeyed his word, you know, when you take a vow and you break the vow, or you made an oath, you perform an oath in his name. Leviticus, the 19th chapter, verse 12. You know, as we know, the man who used the Almighty's name to legitimize his oath and then broke his promise, that would indicate his lack of reverence for the Almighty, as well as lack of fear of his holy name. It was essentially the same as denying the Almighty's existence, because you're discrediting the Father's. You're discrediting his name, and you're discrediting the Godhead and his son. But now we know that there is a new covenant that has been ushered in by Christ. So we don't need to legitimize an oath. We don't need to take an oath or offer animal sacrifice and things of that nature, because Christ has paid a price. It was the living sacrifice for his people. Those who name the name of Christ and pray in his name, and who take his name as part of their identity, but who deliberately, continually to disobey his command are taking his name in vain. Let's pause. Let's take a 5-minute break. And we'll return in the next 5 minutes. It's 2:25 here, Central Time, American time. It's 2:25 Central Standard Time here in the United States of America. We're live and direct in the studio. For those who are just new to this platform, welcome to Truth Radio. And welcome to today's session as we're talking about not using the name of our Lord thy God in vain. We'll be back in 5 minutes. 5 minutes. for those who are just tuning in, for the listeners out there who are just joining us, welcome again. This is Truth Radio, TRWTH Radio. I'm your host, and I'm also your preacher on today's Shabbat, Adewale. Once again, welcome to Truth Radio. If you're just joining us, if you're new to this platform, welcome. As every Shabbat, we bring in, you know, Christ's doctrine. We teach the scriptures to the ears and to the minds of men. We break down the scriptures in spirit and in truth. You know, and we're live and direct in the studio. For those who don't have the app, right now is available in both Google Store and Apple Store. And again, if you're new to this platform, I want you to download the app. There's a section where it says chat with admin. And that way, I want to know your name and the country that you currently reside in. Download the app and send a message stating your name, your full name, and the country that you currently reside in. Oh, I appreciate that. Now, let's continue further. As we're talking about Leviticus, the 19th chapter, verse 12, and how in the Old Testament, bringing this honor on God's name was done by failing to perform an oath or vow taken in his name, whereby it's broken. You know, and we gave an example of a man who used God's name to legitimize his oath and then broke his promise. You know, things of such. We know this ordinances, you know, was pertaining to the Old Testament and how we offer sacrifices and how, we made a vow and oath and how the priest, you know, conduct himself in a very righteous and holy manner on behalf of their people. You know, how they're burning incense and things of that nature. And we know that, you know, this will indicate his lack of reverence for God, as well as a lack of fear of his holy name. You know, it's the same. To me, it's essentially the same as denying God's existence. For we know, for God to exist, we have to show that. And how can we show that God exists? By the light in Christ, by shedding that light that Christ displayed, which led him to the cross. We have to display the same light as Christ has displayed or had displayed when he walked this very earth. So we have to display that same light to the people, to the word, and let them know that, yes, our Father exists and we are his direct representation on earth. The character that we display on this very earth proves to us that, yes, the Almighty exists. Let your yes be your yes and let your no be your no. The reason why I said this is because we have a lot of people who swear in God's name. And we know that we are not to swear in God's name. We are not to swear in no one's name. Not even in God's name, because that's using the name of our God in vain. Simply let your yes be your yes and let your no be your no. And that's how we exercise the God's name on earth in all righteousness. And this bring me back to this. I got to say this. It's very important. You know, because we know that in this Western world, in fact, in this Roman kingdom, in this court system, we know that this court system does not favor the righteous. The court system, especially the Western world, the court system is subject to fallacy, lies, wickedness, hypocrisy, and devil doctrines. You know, whereby they ask you to swear with the Bible, to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. And we know that the judges, these devils that represent the system, we know that they're unclean. especially these white judges that ruleth in this system, that judge matters, civil discourse among men. They judge the criminals. They determine how many years, you know, they'll be sentenced to prison. We know that the system is highly satanic. It gives no room for justice and fairness. It gives no room for equality between a black man and a white man. We know the justice system favors one race than the other. And they have the decency, the audacity to bring a Bible, and for the criminals, or the so-called criminals, or the defendant, to swear with the Bible, to tell the truth. That's an oath. That's also using the name of our God in vain. And they themselves, they are of no better, because their skin color do not reflect the color of their heart. These guys are darkened. They are devils. They're a moralistic gun. These guys have no conscience. These guys are devil reincarnate. That's who they are, these judges. Yet they set up all the rules of the laws, but they uphold the rules of the elite to carry out the propaganda, the agenda of the 1% of the 1% that ruleth in this kingdom. These are the elites, those ones that sit on the pyramid. The justice system is corrupt, and it gives no room for truth. And that's the reason why truth has been distorted. Justice, fairness, righteousness have been distorted in this court system. I have to throw that out there. That's one example in this court system. They're all devils. Devils, blood-sucking demons. That's who they are. They have the decency to tell the criminals, the so-called criminals, the defendant, to swear by the Bible. Why? How come they cannot swear also by the Bible? Give them the Bible to swear in God's name. That's how corrupt the system is. Not just here in America, but worldwide, even in Africa. They have their robes, and they say that they represent justice. They represent the Constitution of the United States. They represent the Constitution that God has given us, our free rights, our free amendment rights. And yet they persecute the innocent. They lock up the blacks, the less privileged ones, those who can't even defend themselves. They lock them up. And regardless if they are innocent or not, and regardless if the words that comes out of their mouth when they're trying to defend themselves are truthful or not, that tells me that these guys don't stand for righteousness. They are the children of darkness. They are the children of Satan. That's who they are. They have no light in them. They are the children of darkness. And they know themselves, these devils, these judges. Likewise, the lawyers. They're saying, God, we trust. But this is backwards. In Satan, they trust. By their actions, they've revealed their fruits. And they have to repent. They have to repent. They're of no good. These guys are the bad fruits that needs to be cast away and be burnt. These judges, they are as corrupt as corrupt can be. Yes, they are as corrupt can be. Corrupt souls. They have no conscience. These guys have sold their souls to the devils. They've sold their soul to Lucifer, their own God. They've played to Satan. They're all Satanism. They practice occultic rituals to their own God, which is Satan. The courtrooms are filled with filth. Yes, they are filled with filth. Corrupt human beings. The animals in sheep clothing, that's who they are. And as we see them today, you know, just to give an example of how to use the name of our Lord thy God name in vain, by simply asking the less privileged ones, the defendants who are trying to defend themselves, to swear on the Bible, to swear on the Bible, whereby it has been decreed according to the Almighty who has created these devils, these white people, these white judges, per se. He has created everybody equal. But yet, these guys feels like they have the power, that they can sit in the throne of the Almighty. Their pride has reached heaven, whereby they give the Bible to a defendant, to a so-called criminal, to swear by the Bible, whereby the scripture itself speak against it. And they themselves, they testify to the law. They represent the law, but they themselves, they violated the law. They've broken the law, and they represent the law. These are the lawmakers. These are the people who decides one's faith and destiny. One's faith and destiny is in their hands. But if they follow the law by breaking the commandments of the Almighty, one commandment, which simply is, thou shalt not take the name of our God in vain. And yet they say that these guys represent the Almighty. Yet they call themselves Christians. Yes, they call themselves Catholics. We know Catholics. We know these guys are Luciferian. These guys hold no conscience. These guys lack morals. They are blood-sucking demons. And they rot in the pit of hell if they don't repent. They represent the law. Law my feet. They represent Satan. Satan has taken a strong uphold. Satan has taken a strong hold of them. They've captured their minds and their soul, and they've rebelled against Christ. And they've succumbed to the testimony of Satan and to abide in his will by carrying out his own agenda. These are Satan children. They are not from the seed of our father. This guy are the seed of who? Of Cain, the murderer. He murdered his own brother. They are the seeds of Cain. I have to throw that out there. It's one prophet example of using God's name in vain by simply bringing out the scriptures and to give to this defendant to swear with the Bible. And they themselves, they cannot swear with the Bible. They don't give them the Bible. They don't hold this Bible and also swear with the Bible, the same way you've given the defendant to swear with the Bible. Let them take the same Bible and swear with it if their conscience are pure. Bunch of vipers. That's who they are. Bunch of vipers. That's another example of taking God's name in vain. Yes. We tend to point our fingers at others doing this. But we should also examine our own selves. Because I've seen a lot of people manipulating friends, family members, co-workers in God's name for their own gain. Some will abuse their own power. They will abuse their own power by simply carrying out Satan's agenda, you know, to demonize light upon the earth, to lock God's people. And likewise, their own heathens themselves. These are Satan's children. And they all need to repent. You know, that's it. They profess Christ, they profess God's name by bringing out the scriptures, going against the scriptures as they think, as they say, professing Christ's name, going against the scriptures in the very beginning, or at the very beginning. you know, by swearing on the Bible or swearing with the Bible, professing Christ, but ignorantly breaking God's commandments for their own, you know, gain. We know the name of the Lord God is holy, and we are God's representation on earth. You know, we have to abide by his glory, be underneath the shade of the Almighty in Christ, to profess his son and to exhibit light as we are told to on this earth. The name of the Lord is a representation of his glory, his majesty, and his supreme deity. We are to esteem and honor his name as we revere and glorify the Almighty himself. Going against this is going against the commandments of the Almighty. Then you've been disobedient. And now you have taken God's name in vain. That's right. We have taken God's name in vain. And in all fairness, let me go into politics. It's not just our politicians who need to stop using their own faith for their own personal benefit, because it's rampant in today's world. You know, also the businessman who prominently displays the Bible on his own desk. To market their own profit, product, or services. They also need to repent. Not just the politicians, but also the businessmen who prominently displays the Bible on his or her own desk. You know, and use Christians' name, use the God's name and imagery to market their own profit, products, and services. You know, they are violating the commandment of God. They need to repent. They all need to repent. All these politicians and all these renowned businessmen and women. You know? In God we trust. But yet your actions speaks otherwise. Your actions as a nation speaks otherwise. In God we trust. But look at the economy. Look at how you've brutalized the American people. Look at how you've brutalized the American people. And yet in God we trust. But look at the morals. Look at the values. Look at the life endeavors. Look at the continually, you know, American people and how they live their life on this earth. Look at their life. Look at how the American people live their lives. And their philosophies and their practices. And yet, you have the decency to print "In God We Trust" on their dollar bill. That is hypocrisy. You've proven that your action speaks otherwise. That within itself, on a national scale, America is taking God's name in vain. Yes, they're proclaiming God with trust. They proclaim that the God has given them, you know, the rights to exhibit the Constitution of the American, you know, Bill of Rights to the American people. But yet, they've distorted the Bill of Rights. They go against their own Bill of Rights. They've gone against their own Bill of Rights by oppressing their own people, by oppressing the American people. And yet, they have the right to print out "In God We Trust" on their dollar bill. There's this saying that says, God bless our public officials. You know, I pray for them regularly that they repent and they turn back to the Almighty, the heathens, those of other nations, and also our people who happens to involve themselves, you know, in this public post. Because the book of Romans prescribes, though having been a public official, and for those that actually understand and involve themselves in politics, the Christians, which I happen to see a lot of them, you know, we've seen candidates standing against the backdrop of a church, talking about their faith, making obvious use of their own religious identity to attract Christian voters. And upon election, such practices often continues. I see this every time on national news, on TV, even on these, you know, sports ads. They're everywhere. You know, you've seen candidates, you know, who are campaigning, standing against the backdrop of a church, talking about their faith, making obvious use of their own religious identity to attract Christian voters. And upon election, such practices often continue. Does that sound familiar? We know that these officials, they are all misguided. They are blinded. They are demonstrating a woeful ignorance of both the Constitution and the evangelical heritage. That's right. As we know that the U.S. Constitution protects the free exercise of religion, it also prohibits government officials from using their offices to advance or inhibit religion. And that's right. The U.S. Constitution, the United States Constitution, protects the free exercise of religion. It also prohibits government officials from using their office to advance or inhibit religion. So we really have to separate church and state. Render Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and render God things what belong to the Almighty. We have to separate church and state. If we mix them together, destruction awaits us. You know, and yet we call ourselves faithful and righteous people, but we have proven that we are deemed wicked. We've proven that we are deemed wicked. And if we know that the Bible is as reliable as many of us believe, it's also unchristlike. Because we know Christ himself did not take kindly to public displays of pity. We know that. In his most famous, you know, sermon, he lashed out at the pray at the football game crowds. Instead, he admonished his followers to pray in our closets. And our Father in heaven, who sees us in secret, will reward us openly. He had similar instructions for an act of charity, telling us not even to let our right hand know what our left hand is doing. So in all fairness, it is not just our politicians who need to stop using the faith for their own personal benefit. Also the businessmen, and we know ourselves. So we need to repent. We need to repent. And we have 5 minutes as we round up today's session. And we will continually commence next Shabbat as we go on to the next commandment. We will end today's session in the next 5 minutes as we round up this commandment: thou shalt not use God's name in vain. We have to exhibit God's righteousness on earth. Either you're a politician, you're a businessman, you know, you're just a working class citizen of this universe, whatever you do and whatever your class in a society, you know, we have to represent God and His Son on this earth. Now, let's focus on the people now. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to us. You know, we're active on Facebook. It's Truth Radio, TRWTH. You know, we're also active for those who may want to send us emails. We also take emails. TruthRadio@gmail.com. TRWTHRadio@gmail.com. For the new listeners out there who are just tuning in, welcome. I'm your host, Adewale. This is Truth Radio. We're live and direct in the studio. Yes. I greet you all in the name of Christ as we commence next Shabbat. We've wrapped up today's sermon, which is Thou Shalt Not Take the Name of Our God in Vain. We'll continue from next Shabbat as we'll move on to the next commandment. You know, we pray, you know, in God's name and Christ with the mercy in His name that He will keep us alive. We don't know what the future holds for us, but we pray that the Lord should have mercy upon His people, upon us, to keep us to next Shabbat. Because our next Shabbat is not a guarantee. We don't know if we'll be alive next Shabbat. But we pray that God's mercy abide in us, protect us throughout this coming week, and keep us alive. May the blood of Christ Himself protect us in every steps that we take. And let us encourage one another. Let's check on one another. Let us enlighten ourselves and also our fellow brothers and sisters who are still sucking the milk in the word. You know, we're Christ's ambassador and we have to display that righteousness upon the earth. You know, let's call each other during the week. You know, it's a good thing. Let's exercise love, joy, you know, long suffering, that care that Christ gave us, that compassion that Christ gave us. Let's have compassion upon our brothers and sisters. Remember, if our brothers offend us 70 times 70, let's have that forgiving spirit, that forgiving mind to forgive our brothers and sisters. And regardless if they offend us 70 times 7, as Christ said it, let's ask for His spirit, you know, to be able to forgive our brothers and sisters. It's very important. I greet you all, the nation of Israel, and also the heathens. May you guys have a wonderful coming week ahead. Once again, I'm your host, Adewale. We're about to round up today's session. For those who don't have the app, it's available right now in both Google Store and Apple Store. You can go and cap yours, go and download yours. Again, I want you guys to download the app and send us a message in that app. Give us your name and the country that you're actually dwelling in at this moment, where you're listening from. It's very important. I want to engage my audience, my listeners out there. It's very important. Send us a message. If you have any questions, concern, whatsoever on today's Shabbat class, we're more than likely to engage with you guys and to share the word with you. You can reach us again on Facebook. We're active, Truth Radio, TRWTH Radio. We're also active, you know, on our emails. You can kindly send us an email, truthradio@gmail.com, TRWTH Radio. But the fastest way to reach out to us, if you have any concerns, question, whatever it could be, whatever it may be, download the app and there's a section where it says chat with admin. And that way you can be able to access the preacher, the teacher, on Shabbat class. Shabbat shalom to all the 12 tribes of Israel, scattered throughout the four corners of the earth. I greet you all in the name of Yahushai, on whom the world called Jesus the Christ. One love, my people. Peace.